and no-deal Brexit could put 40,000 jobs at risk in Northern Ireland. This, according to new analysis from the Stormont Department for the Economy. Now, the report says many jobs could disappear almost overnight, especially in industries such as agri-food and haulage. Let's speak now to the businessman and NI Conservative member, Erwin Armstrong. Good morning to you, Erwin.
Good morning, Vinny.
And the commentator, Phil Kelly. Good morning to you, Phil.
Good morning, Vinny.
Erwin, we'll start with you. This also warns of immediate and severe consequences for Northern Ireland and its ability to be competitive.
I agree. I mean, I don't know whether 40,000 is realistic or not, but it doesn't really matter. Even one job is one job too many. The facts are we cannot afford to have a no deal. And the reasons that we have got to a no deal hinge around one small factor of the withdrawal agreement, which is called the backstop. Now, the solution to this problem is to take out the backstop, don't have a backstop, but instead replace it with an actual finished agreement as to how Northern Ireland will operate within the UK and the European Union at the same time.
And do you believe that will happen?
I believe that no one, whether it's the European Union, Ireland, the UK or Northern Ireland, wants a no deal. So it depends how pragmatic people are willing to be. And I think the only thing I can see blocking such a deal would be the DUP not supporting it in the House of Commons. But I can't understand why they would block something that could transform Northern Ireland if it can trade within the EU and it can trade within the UK. And I'm led to believe by those people who are in discussing these things in detail that there would be an appetite for such a deal all around. Now, what we would need to do is to come up with a scheme which certifies Northern Ireland companies producing goods that meet European standards and that have the appropriate added value and their components are approved, etc. But that's fine detail and it can be done.
Yeah, it'll be of little comfort to people in those industries at this point. Just to put this into a slight more context, the recession that many of us, of course, will all know about that happened in the last, say, 10 years or so, 41,000 jobs were lost. 1,000 of those, 20,000 of those in the first year. So it's a significant impact.
Oh, but I've already said one job being lost is one job too many, so it doesn't matter to me whether it's one job or 40,000. Any number is a number that we have got to get away from, and we have got to get people round a table negotiating on a deal, and it's obvious.
So are you suggesting, Erwin, that we should stay in the single market to stay in the customs union?
Not in the customs union, no. Single market is what I'm proposing, or something similar to the single market, where Northern Ireland companies who wished to export would become certified as bona fide suppliers to the European Union, meeting all of their requirements. And that is not difficult to do. I mean, we already comply with all sorts of regulations. We have audits. We have traceability over our goods. We all know that meat now in Northern Ireland is traceable to practically the field that it came out of. So there are ways of doing it if the will is there to replace that backstop with a final agreement.
Right.
And then
okay,
we can move forward.
Well, there you go, Phil Kelly. Erwin Armstrong makes it sound very simple and straightforward.
Well, he's engaged in the ostrich-like ability that we've seen from the Tory party and the DUP in this regard. The negotiations are over, that's clear.
The negotiations are not over. Yeah, they are not
let's
over,
let Phil make his point, Erwin, then you can come back in.
I didn't interrupt Erwin. So, you know, it's clear that the backstop is the offer. Now, the DUP have blocked that, and I think about what the backstop would have offered. It offers kind of the best of both worlds for NI business and workers. One foot in, one foot out. But the DUP have blocked that. And we in Northern Ireland live in a very vulnerable economy, as you've seen. Pre-Brexit, manufacturing was already in decline with no plan to resuscitate it. You've seen the closure of Gallagher's, of Michelin, et cetera, et cetera. So we're very precarious, so we need all the support we can get. The thing is, the majority of people in Northern Ireland actually back the buck stop. You know, they voted Remain in the referendum, and if you remember the latest EU parliamentary elections, they returned a majority of political representatives who backed the backstop. Now, Northern Ireland has been an afterthought in the whole Brexit project. Nobody had a credible solution for the border. You've seen Boris Johnson dismiss it and his other rivals dismiss it, put it on the back burner. We can deal with it with some unicorn solution in the future. And that's not good enough. And we've also seen how precarious it is for unionists to support Brexit, because in a recent YouGov poll, 42% of people surveyed said that they would sacrifice the union, they'd be happy to see the union break up in order to get a Brexit deal that they supported. So it's very dangerous for unionists to support that within the Northern Ireland context. But from my perspective, you know, Erwin mentioned the 2008 recession, which destroyed jobs and living standards across the globe. Well, we're already tipping towards another global recession. And the last thing we need is Northern Ireland to be dragged out of the EU with a Tory no-deal Brexit. And remember this, the Conservative Party are about to anoint as Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who's already said that he will march out on the 31st of October. That should send a shiver down the spine of people living here, because it can only be bad.
Okay, 0-30-30-80-55-55. Some people do, of course, support a no-deal Brexit. The question for others, 40,000 jobs, if that does come to pass, would that be an acceptable price to pay to get Brexit at any cost? Dan in Lisburn, first call of the day. Good morning, Dan.
How you doing, Billy?
Not too bad.
Billy, this report, and I've just heard the greatest load of flipping nonsense from my life, from that man from Labour, whose Labour Party will not let the people in Northern Ireland vote.
Well, that's Phil Kelly, and he's on the programme as a commentator this morning. But you can talk directly to Phil.
Let me give him something to think about. That report that he came out that was published yesterday is already out of date. It was out of date before it was even published. And it was out of date because of the actions of the European Union. Now, we were told with the backstop that Northern Ireland must have the backstop to protect the rest of the European Union from substandard goods and less quality food projects coming into the country. Now, last week, the week before, the European Union went and done a deal with Brazil, Uruguay, Paraguay and Argentina to allow 90,000 tonnes of this so-called, what our farmers call, substandard beef. So we are going to have a backstop. And can I just add further that President Trump is already on a trade war with China. Dan O'Brien from the of the Irish of the European Institute said that President Trump will is going to increase that war to include the European Union.
Okay.
And no, but let me make this point.
Well, you've made a few points, so Dan, let's have a conversation about this.
I just want the final point is,
I've forgotten your first point now.
Well,
go ahead.
No doubt. But the final point is that we are going to allow substandard beef in from the rest of the world.
Okay.
And under the backstop, we will have to check every bit of food that comes in from the rest of the UK. I mean, only the Alliance Party, Sinn Féin, the Labour Party and could think up of such a daft idea.
Okay, well, let's go to your first point in regards to this report. You say it's already out of date. There have been warnings from other experts in different forms, different industries, on the impacts of a no-deal Brexit. Hotel owners, the Retail Federation, motor manufacturers. So are you saying that they're all wrong?
What I'm saying is, I can't understand how owners would be complaining, because we have a city, all retailers, because of the lower pound, we have attracted 430 million euros of cross-border shopping. And this has increased year on year as the pound has weakened. I mean, the people who are crying about the backstop in Newry, Strabane and Derry are actually laughing their whole way to the bank. And this is illustrated by CBRE, who just opened that new shopping centre in the Quay Centre.
You mentioned hotel owners. So obviously they would rely on the freedom of movement, so the ability of people to come and work here to staff their hotels. You know, that's just one example.
Yes, well, that is already on there's a free movement of people under the there was before they went into the European Union. But with the no deal...
Sorry, say that again, Dan.
There is It'll go back to the way it was before, where you have free movement in the UK. And you'll have free movement.
So outside the UK, someone coming from...
Are you going to tell me, Vinny, that people, the European Union are going to stop thousands of people going to Spain for their holidays?
Okay, well, Phil Kelly?
But...
And of course, we are talking about people coming here to work, for example. Phil?
Yeah, look, when we talk about economists and economic predictions, the caller is entirely right to be sceptical from wherever direction they come from, because economists are fairly often united in their ability to get things wrong. But you look at the general trend, you look at what we're being told from the National Farmers Union, from the trade unions locally, from the freight service, from logistics, supply chains, from border communities, and everyone is telling us that a no-deal Brexit is going to decimate our local economy. It's time to stop burying our heads in the sand and listen to these multiple voices, because it presents a real present threat to our economy, and that's bad for everyone. Now,
hello, can I have a word?
Yes.
Here is the crunch, the killer blow for a no-deal Brexit as regards tourism. Because of no-deal Brexit, the people, consumers in Northern Ireland, Ireland and the rest of the UK, will, because we're no longer part of the European Union, will enjoy proper duty-free travel to those countries. Now, the Republic of Ireland has already done a survey into this, and they reckon they will be €300 million a year to the benefit because of duty-free travel alone. The Eurotunnel has had... They have planned for this immediately after Brexit. They are not worried.
All right, Dan, thank you. Phil, you want back in there?
Yeah, fantastic. So my response to the caller is then invest in Northern Ireland's tourist industry. Put shares in that, because you're not listening to manufacturing, you're not listening to logistics and freight, you're not listening to the fact that we have a National Health Service crisis in recruitment, and EU nationals are not coming to work in our health service because of the threat of Brexit to their families and their rights. So, you know, wake up, listen to the voices. There are multiple. They come from the trade unions, from business, from border communities, and it's time to realise the real threat of a Boris Johnson no-deal Brexit.
Erwin Armstrong?
Yeah, you know, Phil said there will be no opening of the deal. I'm afraid if the EU had come out and said, oh, now we'll have a renegotiation before negotiations start. I mean, they've already said they're open to discussion. There is a new administration in the EU coming in the autumn. Different people, different everything, and there will be different attitudes. EU does not want a no-deal Brexit. Ireland is petrified of a no-deal Brexit. We all know that. Northern Ireland rightly doesn't want a no-deal Brexit either. There are solutions, and I think I'll say
you just haven't heard any, Erwin.
I've given you a solution. You just don't want to listen. That is your problem, Phil. What I've said is, if we can have a deal, and I'm led to believe that it is possible from all sides, if the DUP will agree to it, where we manufacture in Northern Ireland to EU and the current UK and any future UK standards, and Northern Ireland companies are certified, if the meat is traceable to the field, the EU is not going to have to let goods into the EU that is not properly certified, there wouldn't be a problem. But the key is to get that deal in place of the backstop.
Well, Erwin,
there'll be no backstop.
Erwin Armstrong, surely if the withdrawal agreement is reopened, that reopens every element within that.
Yeah, but I think you're right there. But the key to any deal is to get it done by the end of October. And I think we can't start renegotiating all of it. The only thing that prevented this from going through the House of Commons was the backstop. If you take it out and don't have a backstop and have an actual deal for Northern Ireland built into it, then...
And when, just Erwin, just so we keep ourselves right, when does the new European Commission, when does that start? Is that...
It's September, I think.
Is it not the 1st of November?
I don't think it's as far down as that, because they've already appointed the
I think it might be. We'll double check, but we're pretty sure of this.
I'm not an expert in exactly...
Will that cause problems in your theory there, Erwin?
Yeah, no, it doesn't cause problems, because the existing people are there, and the underlying thing in the midst
of it... Yeah, but it would cause a problem if you had already left.
Oh, no. No, I'm saying before the end of October. If the will is there to do a deal that puts Northern Ireland into a position where it could become an economic powerhouse, because if you're a foreign direct investor and you can trade with the UK, take part in their overseas trade deals, you can trade with the EU, why would you not want to come to Northern Ireland? You
know, Vinny,
yes, Phil, very briefly. I want to go to some more calls and
look at
Conway.
The reality. We are racing towards a cliff. And let me use a local analogy. If Northern Ireland is the Titanic, we have the Democratic Unionist Party, which in terms of the backstop is burning the lifeboats, actually preventing Northern Ireland a way of mitigating the disaster of Tory Brexit. The sad thing is there will be no electoral consequence to the DUP from their electorate for that failing, for forcing this misery on our society.
OK, Aidan Connolly, the director of the Northern Ireland Retail Consortium. Good morning to you.
Morning, Vinny.
Grim reading a lot of this report. What's your reaction?
It's grim reading. It's stark. But honestly, it shouldn't come as a surprise because it's what we've been saying, what Manufacturing Now has been saying, what Freight Transport Association has been saying. It's what we're hearing from our members. We've sort of looked at this report, and in fact, I spent 2 or 3 hours going through it bit by bit. I've actually had phone calls on both sides. I've had people telling that, oh, it's scaremongering. But actually, I've had a lot of people phone and say, well, you know what, this is not what we recognise. We think there's going to be more job losses. And it really is those industries that are at the coalface of this, those industries such as retail, such as freight, such as farming. So, it just goes to show what we've said all along, is that we need a deal and that a no deal will be a disaster for the economy. Erwin's right that there will be a new commission coming in. Unfortunately, they don't come in until the 1st of November. Also, you know, I'm still in contact with the Article 50 team. I'm still in contact with a lot of the European guys that we've been over to see in Brussels and Paris and different places. And they're very adamant that they're standing behind Ireland. Erwin's also right as far as the certification and all that. But we have to be very careful here and trying to make things sound a lot easier than they are. That still needs the European Commission to vote on it. That still needs the European Commission to back it. Because if we leave with no deal, even if we have exactly the same standards, they're not recognised. Even, you know, one of the things that we fought for within the deal is that there's qualified people, that they actually recognise our qualified persons. It doesn't deal with things like VAT as well. So, all in all, a no deal is a mess.
And right? In terms of the issue you mentioned there of standards, you could have a case where Europe would go one direction and Britain the other, where those standards would change over time.
Yeah, that's it. And divergence is a really, really big problem. It's a big problem because they have to protect their single market. And you know what?
There is an issue here. You know, we as manufacturers have to meet standards. We meet CE standards, we meet FDA standards. Because you meet one standard doesn't prevent you from meeting another standard.
That's absolutely right, Aaron. But by the same, the people that you're selling to have to recognise those standards. We become a third party the moment that we...
Wait a minute. There are goods manufactured in China to CE standards. They do not have... they're not members of the single market.
It also took them 12 years to get that EE certification as a third-party country. So it doesn't happen overnight. This is what I do for a living.
It's what I do for a living, let me tell you.
And your health business is very, very successful, and I'm not taking away from that, Erwin.
But the point I'm making is goods are manufactured in China to CE standards. And they are approved by subsidiaries of European bodies. So
that's right, but it takes a long time to get this. This doesn't happen
but it doesn't
overnight.
Have to.
And
What kind of time frame are you talking, Aidan?
Hold on,
Aidan's made a point. Hold on a second, Erwin. Let's all keep this nice and polite. What day is it? Wednesday? We need to try and get to Friday. So it's Thursday. Well, that's
Thursday.
Brilliant. Anyway, Aidan, in terms of the time frame that you're both talking about there, what kind of time frame would that be?
It depends on what the European Union want to do how quickly they can...
Weeks, months, years?
Sometimes it can take 18 months, sometimes it can take...
Wait a minute here. No, we are going right off track. We manufacture to CE standards. We are switching our approval to a company in mainland Europe, and that is quite acceptable that the company in mainland Europe will audit us in Northern Ireland to see
standards. Absolutely, because that company has already been audited and already has that approval from the EU. It's we're getting caught in the semantics. The thing is, they have to recognise both the body who's doing it and the standards we're doing
okay,
it.
Okay, let's
and
go.
That takes quite a while.
Let's go back to the phones every time.
It takes okay. No time.
Albert and Ballyclare. Good morning, Albert.
Good morning to you.
Go ahead, Albert.
I'm just wondering, we're all concerned about what's going to happen to Northern Ireland, the UK, and so on and so forth.
Yes.
But never hear one word of how this is going to affect Germany, France, Italy, Spain, and all the rest of those countries. Is this going to be, they're going to be oblivious at all? Doesn't affect them one way or the other?
No, no, it'll affect them 60% badly.
60% of their exports come into the UK. What happens to those 60% then? Where are they?
Well, Phil Kelly, you want to respond to that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm no fan of the EU, but I'm not a supporter of Brexit. But if you look at the history of the EU, the recent history is that it will act in a way that is simply not logical. So if you look at what happened to Greece, the so-called bailout of the Greek economy, which cost European taxpayers more money to destroy that country's
economy
and give it debt write-off.
Greece is broken, so is Italy.
Yeah, and what the point I'm making... is the EU...
Okay, Albert, let's let Phil respond and we'll bring you back in, Albert. Phil, go ahead.
The point I'm making is that the EU took that illogical decision to destroy those economies. Don't think for a minute that it is going to reach out and support a floundering UK, even if that has an economic impact on the EU. And it will. It will. It most certainly will. And I don't think anyone...
Tell me about it. Where are you to Germany and tell me what they're saying?
I'm telling you.
You've been there. Do you know what the chatter is in Europe?
Never mind Germany. Never mind Germany.
Well, Germany, France.
No.
What are they going to do with their oranges? What are the other boys going to do with their wine? They're going to do their motor cars. Where are they going to go?
I'm supporting your point. The key is Ireland, because the impact on Ireland will be greater than any other country, either currently within the EU or to be in it afterwards. The impact on Ireland, where almost half their...
Look, you're not answering the question. You're telling me about what's going to happen here. Tell me what's going to happen in Germany, France, Italy, and all the rest of the countries.
Let me answer it. When a major economy like the UK walks out, there will be an economic hit for the whole EU. That's a given, OK? But we know how they're going to act because they've already presented their final negotiated...
That's because we'll get the right answer. That's there.
Okay.
Let's take it down a notch or two. Let's take a pause for a second.
Hold on a second, please.
Hold on. If you let me chair this, please, and we'll hopefully get to the end of the program and up to Sian. Let's go back to the issue that we started on, the potential loss of 40,000 jobs. Albert, how do you interpret that? And that's Northern Ireland.
But we've heard the same stories hundreds of times about when we didn't go into the Euro, but it was going to be a disaster, the whole place was going to collapse. Well, whenever we signed off that we're going to leave the European Union, then everything was going to come to a standstill. That's 3 years ago. It hasn't come to a standstill yet. Why are all these people
We've all had our wee bits this morning. Right, Albert, thank you very much for your call this morning. Mickey and Uma. Good morning, Mickey. Yes, are you still there, Mickey?
I'm still a bit, aye.
Good morning, go ahead.
I'm only healthy, boy, like. What's the difference between attitudes and opinions, like?
What do you make of this, Mickey?
Well, what's the difference? Oh, that's everybody's opinion, like that. An attitude would be to me, right? The backstop is the best thing that would ever happen in Northern Ireland.
So you would call for them to implement the backstop. You want that to stay?
Sit away, no bother, because if I was on the... You might have heard him. I don't know if you were up there or not. Know that Virgin man? He was on. He's going to fall out of England earlier.
Vinny, let me answer that, because the caller says difference between attitude and opinion. Think about this. Leading Brexiteer, Sir James Dyson, who advocated Brexit for the UK, make Britain great again, has relocated his business to the Far East. And also, when we're talking about job losses, your listeners should look at the number of financial businesses that are relocating to Holland, to Dublin, and to Frankfurt. So the job losses are already happening. But think about James Dyson.
What is that noise?
Think about James Dyson when you think about the leading advocates of Brexit and what this is all about.
Okay, Michael in North Belfast. Michael, good morning to you. Hello, Michael.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can indeed. Go ahead, Michael.
Okay, so to carry on with Bill's analogy around the Titanic, if the North is a Titanic, unfortunately, we've already hit that iceberg, in my opinion. And that's the reality. And Irwin and the DUP Brexiteers are on the bridge of that same Titanic, pretending they haven't hit an iceberg, pretending there's only an ice cube. The reality of all of this, and we've seen it even just... So the reality of all of this, we looked at what happened to the mushroom industry. The day after the vote, dozens of businesses, dozens of people lost their jobs because of the sterling fluctuation. That is absolutely, again, a tip of the iceberg. But, you know, the real problem here is this, that Brexiteers, the unicorns of this world, are absolutely, either by their own befuddled minds or for much more sinister reasons, trying to pretend that October 31st will not herald Britain leaving Brexit and leaving without a no deal. Boris Johnson doesn't want a deal. He wants to leave.
That's wrong. That is wrong.
Scary Winston, do you mind? I didn't interrupt or didn't talk over you or anything. He doesn't want one. The heartland of Tory Britain doesn't want one. They're harking on to this empire view of the world, which is long since gone too. So the reality is this. DUP Brexiteers are misleading the people. There will be no reopening of the withdrawal agreement. Absolutely none. The backstop is in place. How many times do people need to hear that?
Okay, Michael, thank you.
I would just finally say this. It's, again, the tip of the iceberg. Because at this stage, if the agreement goes through as we see it, cows and pigs have more rights than people. And that's the real serious problem here. The erosion of EU rights for Irish passport holders and Irish citizens in the north of Ireland is going to be a disaster also.
Okay, Michael, thank you. Irwin, you wanted to respond to that just briefly, please.
Yeah, no, I think it's clear that everybody in the leadership, whether it's Hunt or Johnson, wants a deal. Everybody wants a deal. The question is, what is the deal going to be? And as I said before, the backstop is not finished because it hasn't gone through the House of Commons. So therefore, it is not a deal because it hasn't gone. So we have got to put something in there that will take out the backstop and put something else in. And I'm saying, let's do a deal now that protects Northern Ireland, that allows Northern Ireland to get a very special place where we can have an economic powerhouse here.
You're never going to get a deal that protects Northern Ireland when you've got a party like the DUP forcing us towards the cliff, and you've got a Prime Minister like Boris Johnson who couldn't give one iota of care to this place. You know, it's all about his career, and any deal negotiated by Boris Johnson will not be in the interest, not only of people living here, but people living throughout the UK.
We have to leave it there, but thank you very much. Phil Kelly, Irwin Armstrong and Aidan Connolly.